From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called The Name of the Lord Jesus, part of a series of studies in the Book of Acts. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Quiet Heart. The text is Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. It is always weakness to be fretting and worrying, questioning and mistrusting. What can we do if we wear ourselves to skin and bone? Can we gain anything by fearing and fuming? Do we not unfit ourselves for action and unhinge our minds for wise decision? We are sinking by our struggles when we might float by faith. Oh, for grace to be quiet! Why run from house to house to repeat the weary story which makes us more and more heartsick as we tell it? Why even stay at home to cry out in agony because of wretched forebodings which may never be fulfilled? It would be well to keep a quiet tongue, but it would be far better if we had a quiet heart. Oh, to be still and know that Jehovah is God! Oh, for grace to be confident in God! The Holy One of Israel must defend and deliver his own. He cannot run back from his solemn declarations. We may make sure that every word of his will stand, though the mountains depart. He deserves to be confided in, and if we would display confidence and consequent quietness, we might be as happy as the spirits before the throne. Come, my soul, return unto thy rest, and lean thy head upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus.
Sometimes the music of my soul
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26, record the first miracle wrought by the apostles after Pentecost, the healing of the lame man at the temple. Dr. Cairns noted the time of the miracle, the hour of prayer, for it's always true that prayer and power go together. Of great importance is the fact that the healing of the lame man was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the key to the teaching of the chapter. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, the miracles performed by the apostles were gradually withdrawn once the church was established and the canon of Scripture was closed. It's important to note that the New Testament miracles were always to the purpose of preaching the gospel, not to draw attention to personalities. Rather than focusing upon the miracle, Peter went immediately to the preaching of Christ and the free pardon of sin through the Savior's name. Now to conclude this message entitled, The Name of the Lord Jesus, here is Dr. Cairns.
My, we're living in a day when so many Christian young people are, well, they say they're Christian young people. They're dressed up atheists. Oh, they say they believe in God, but if we really believed in God, if we really believed in Jesus Christ, if we really believed in heaven and hell, if we really believed there was a lost world there, would there be such a terrible task in getting Christian young people to go out and start doing something for God? Would there? Do you tell me that people who really believe in the power of the gospel, really believe that there's power given them from God to go out and win souls, are going to sit back and let the whole world go to hell and do nothing about it? Do you tell me that people who are really saved are left unmoved and unconcerned by the bald and startling statistic that there are more people in the world today who have never heard of Jesus Christ than any time since Christ himself walked the earth? Do you tell me that people who are saved don't get worried about things like that? Don't get moved by things like that? I tell you, my friend, if they're really saved, then they're surely going to have to say, such as I have, I give it to you. I'm giving you it. I'm not the best preacher in the world, but what I have, I'm giving to you in the name of Jesus. I'm not the most brilliant missionary in the world, but I'm giving myself to the work of saving sinners in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's my burden for this church, that God will give us a race of young people. I'm not so young people, but I'm talking now about people who are just starting out, that the Lord will give us a race of them who are not going to worry how much money they can make in the world. And they're not going to worry how much pleasure they can accumulate in the world. And they're not going to worry what sort of a house they can get for their wife and family. But they're going to say, Lord, I'm going to give that all to Thee. And I'm giving everything I am and have for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the salvation of the lost. I'm going out. We get people like this man, whom the church has given up for dead and useless, and been out to see them saved. Why, there's a whole world out there that needs to be won. God give us people who can get up off their chair and start to do something for God. Peter and John certainly exercised their authority in a generous way. What I have, I'm giving to you. And I'm going to, in the name of Jesus, command your healing, command your salvation. You know, this man, just like sinners, was looking for a little blessing. He'd have been happy if Peter and James, or Peter and John, had tossed him a few coins. He'd have been happy. He had a big smile on his face. Just like so many sinners. Sinners are so easily made happy. Just looking for the little blessing. Ah, give me a half-decent job, a decent salary. Let me be able to run a nice motor car. Let me have this, let me have that. Just the little blessing. It's not much to ask. That's what this man was thinking. And all the time, the Lord designed to give him so much more. And he didn't know it. The Lord wanted so much more for him. If you're unsaved in the meeting this morning, what you're looking for is paltry. What the Lord is willing to give you and wanting to give you is beyond description. And you will notice how that the greater blessing always includes the lesser. For this man did get more than his few coins. He didn't now need to sit and beg. He had the power to go and work for a living. He had the power to go and get what he needed to keep body and soul together. For the bigger blessing always includes the lesser. It's true also of Christians, you know. So many Christians just looking for a little blessing. My friend, you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the Lord's kingdom. Seek first the Lord's righteousness. He'll add everything else to you. I mentioned a little while ago that shop that was opening back in Ballymoney and our brother Albert McCauley's investment in it. Saw some people raise their eyebrows when I mentioned $300,000. Quite an investment for anybody. Certainly one individual. And I tell you, just a few years ago, because of faithfulness to Jesus Christ, that man and his entire family connection were left penniless. When I tell you that they couldn't have got $2 together, when I tell you that they laid everything on the altar for God, and they said, Lord, you're going to have to carry us through. You will see what I mean. God isn't going to make everybody a wealthy man. It's not his purpose, because there's very few Christians can handle wealth. That man's one of the very few men I know can handle wealth and doesn't give tuppence for it, doesn't care tuppence for it, except as it helps to spread the gospel. It's not God's will to make everybody wealthy, but it is God's will to do this. When you put the Lord first, and you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you give the Lord his proper place in your life, and you say, Lord, I'm willing to live in poverty, to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, to be a soul-winning witness, I'm willing to live in poverty. Now, whatever way he deals with you, you'll find that the Lord will always meet your need, always. And he'll bless you far beyond your wildest dreams. Always pays in every way to serve the Lord. And whether you have $10 million or $10, the Lord will never let you want. He's king. Seek him first. And he'll bless you in every other way. There's the power of the name of the Lord Jesus. Now time is gone. And I've only time to tell you what to look for in the preaching of that name. How quick the apostles were to preach Christ. His name was always right on the tip of their tongue. They were always jumping for an opportunity. It's the way we have got to be today. And they preached him fully. I'll give you what they preached and you can work it out. They preached Christ first as the glorified servant. You'll notice in verse 13 and verse 26, Peter talked about his son, Jesus. Actually, the word for son is not the proper word for son at all. It is more literally translated boy. In chapter 4 and verse 25, it's the word used of David, thy servant David. And it actually is speaking of Christ the servant rather than his essential eternal deity. As the Son of God, Christ the servant. He's saying, verse 13, the God of our fathers hath glorified his servant Jesus. So he spoke of the glorified servant. Here he reviews the entire voluntary humiliation of Christ. Here he dwells in Christ's obedience. Here I think he's on the same theme as Paul in Philippians chapter 2, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What did he do? He humbled himself. He took upon him the form of a servant and he became obedient unto death. But now, says Peter, God has glorified him. Glorified servant. And then in verse 13, 14, 15, and 18, he speaks of him as the crucified Savior. He says, you delivered him up. Verse 13. Verse 14, you denied him. You desired a murderer. Verse 15, you killed the Prince of Life. Well, you notice here he's talking about the sinlessness of Christ. He's holy, he's just, he's the author of life. He's talking in verse 18 about the sufferings of Christ. Why, these are the things we've got to be preaching about. These are the things that our pulpits have got to be talking about. These are the things that you've got to be witnessing about. The sinlessness of Christ, the sufferings of Christ. And then he emphasized the sin of Christ's rejection. Talked about their sinful desire. They desired a murderer. Now, that's the same desire that fills the heart of unsaved men. If you're in this meeting this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in exactly the same position. They desired a murderer. What do you desire? Booze? the biggest murderer in the United States. Is that what you desire? Worldly pleasure? Killing more souls than you would ever dare to imagine. What are you desiring instead of Christ? Just as evil and sinful as the desires of these people. And then their denial. They denied Him. How do some of you get out of a meeting without accepting Christ? How do some of you go on hardening your heart? My, you simply deny the claims of Christ. And then he talked about their deeds in killing the prince or the author of life. What a paradox that is. Imagine he is the author of life, and yet he talks about killing the author of life. Well, thank God, the author of life could not be held by death, and therefore we read that God raised him from the dead. He preached the crucified yet risen Savior. Then he preached Christ as the prophesied seed, verse 22 and through to verse 25. Now, I can only just mention this, but when you read the Gospels, you'll find that the Jews talked about Christ as being that prophet. This is that prophet. Fulfilling Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and 19. That prophet who would be like unto Moses. Now then, this is fulfilled in Christ. He is, notice, the prophet. He comes as light from God to shine upon the darkened hearts of men. He comes to teach them the will of God for their salvation. He comes as the mouthpiece of God to a lost world. He is the prophet. Then you will notice his perfection. Moses says, he's like unto me. In other words, like Moses, he is face to face with God, only in an infinitely greater way than Moses. Like Moses, he inaugurated a new dispensation marked by mighty signs and wonders. Only again, infinitely greater, for Moses introduced the dispensation of law, Christ the dispensation of grace. Like Moses, he brought the people out of bondage. Only Moses brought them out of Egypt, the Lord Jesus redeemed them out of sin. And of course, like Moses, he finished the work. At the end of Exodus, we read, so Moses finished the work of building the tabernacle. The Lord Jesus finished the work that was signified and typified by the tabernacle. What a perfect prophet and Savior. His pedigree is given. He is of your brethren. He is truly human. I haven't time to work that out through Scripture this morning, but this is one of the most important strands of prophecy concerning Christ, that he would be human, that he would be truly human, so that you have true God and true man in a perfect personal union. We have thereby the one mediator and Savior of sinners. You'll notice his power. I want you to think of this, for it's still true today. Although Peter was preaching to Jews, it's true also of Gentiles. I want you to think of this, and if you remember nothing else, if you're unsaved, remember this. You hear him or perish. That's his power. You hear him and live, or turn away from him and perish. Wonder what you're doing this morning. Wonder, is there somebody here fool enough to be sitting listening to the devil, listening to the voice of sin, listening to the call of the world, listening to the ungodly clamor of this evil age and turning a deaf ear to the Christ of God, tell you you're in the high road to perish? He is that prophet. Or as we have it in verse 25, the seed in whom all the kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. Promised to Abraham, in Christ alone can there be blessing. That leads us finally to talk about the pardon that comes through the name of Christ. Because when verse 25 says, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed, verse 26 tells you what the blessing is. What is it? He sent his son Jesus to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. That's the blessing of God. It's pardon.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.